If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Your kids are going to put a smartphone on the top of their Christmas list. You need to move that way down to the bottom of the Christmas list and don't get it for them for Christmas.
Tanner Clark. He's a dynamic and passionate speaker who is making a profound impact in the lives of teenagers across the country. What would be the three most important things that you think teenagers need to know?
They need to recognize how incredible they are.
I've spoken to parents who lost their kids to... They had no idea their kids were going through that.
We have to, as parents today, especially in the digital age, we have to lose the not my kid mentality. Our kids are no longer resilient because they are spending so much time on these devices.
Teenagers are spending over 7 million seconds on distracted games and devices.
And I think that what our kids don't understand today is that life is hard. Like, growth is hard. The future is hard. Who you want to become, the path to get there is hard. But what's also really hard is being stagnant.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. I'm so excited for today's episode. If you have a child, if you have a teenager, this is for you. Today, we had the privilege of welcoming Tanner Clark. He's a dynamic and passionate speaker who is making a profound impact in the lives of teenagers across the country. Tanner is a dedicated advocate for youth, inspiring them to recognize their potential, navigate challenges, and build lives filled with confidence, purpose, and resilience. With a message rooted in positivity and empowerment, Tanner addresses the real issues teens face today, from overcoming self-doubt to finding their unique voice in a very noisy world. Through his heartfelt storytelling, relatable approach, and actionable advice, he's helping teens discover their worth and step into their best selves. Tanner's work goes beyond just words. He connects with teens on a personal level, creating an environment where they can feel seen, heard, and motivated to take charge of their own future. I want to have you please pay special attention to this episode. If you are a parent, if you are a teen yourself, or a school educator, Tanner is somebody that you should have in your lives, whether you invite him to come to your school, you follow him on Instagram, you listen to his TED Talks. He's somebody you need to hear his message. So please join me in giving a warm welcome to someone who is truly changing lives, Tanner Clark. Tanner, thank you so much for joining me today on Misunderstood. It really is an honor to have someone like you on the show. So thank you for joining me.
Of course. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I found you because I was scrolling my device for things, you know,
Makes
whatever.
sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Because I was bored one day and I came across one of your messages in particular that stood out. And that message that really like got me to stop was you said something about the average amount of time teens spend on their device is 71 days, which comes out to 20% of the year. I have a 12-year-old, she's in seventh grade. Her friends are always at my house and they turn into complete pterodactyls when I tell them to put their phone down. And they think I'm absolutely crazy for asking them. And it's a complete nightmare. So I was like, wait a minute. And then I went down into the rabbit hole of following you and listening to all your messages, found myself kind of in tears over some of them, found some really inspirational. So I knew I had to have you on the show. So that is why you're here. I wanted to start with the first question being what inspired you to develop the 1 second of strength philosophy, and how did you recognize its impact in your own life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I honestly don't remember where I think it just stumbled out of my mouth at one point, just this concept of 1 second of strength. And for the listeners, what this is I believe that you have the power in any given moment, in any given second, to overcome a lot that's going on in your life. So your emotions, and when we think about the brain and when we think about what's going on, particularly with our teenagers, where they think emotionally nearly all the time, I believe you have power in that 1 second to kind of think logically and choose the path that you want. And I think if you think back to your life or any of your listeners of moments where they've done a really hard thing, there was always 1 second of strength that propelled that forward, right? You overcame fear, you overcame self-doubt, you overcame some negative thought that was holding you back in your life. And I think, you know, going back for me, I know the first time I ever used my 1 second of strength, and it was when I was a teenager. I didn't call it that back then, but you know, I wanted to be a rock star. Like if I could have like written my own path, it was rock star. I started playing the guitar when I was 12 years old. I was super excited. Like that was my future. And then one day I was asked to speak at a large church event. There's about 2,000 people in the audience. And I remember sitting on that stage, absolutely scared to death of what I was going to do. Like, how was I going to stand up there and give this speech? And it was in that moment where I remembered what mattered most to me. And I realized I want to be a rock star. And if I wanted to be a rock star, I couldn't let that small fear stand between me and my future. And so it was this one moment where I chose to not be afraid. And it changed the rest of my life. And so I think when we think about teenagers, or we think about growth, or we think about mindset, we think about any of these things, you have the power in 1 second of strength to truly change your life. And it's just a simple choice. And so where I go and I share this concept with teenagers, I want them to use it in a way that gives them back their happiness, because the problem in the world today, and I think the data is coming out more and more and more, the problem is that too many teens are struggling. They don't necessarily know why. And I want them to take back their power and stop struggling and find joy and find happiness in the world, because there's so many great things in the world.
Right.
But when we spend so much time scrolling social media, the world seems a little bit darker.
Right. Absolutely. So let's talk about the use of these devices and the fact that, I mean, the bottom line to it is what you talk about a lot, the distraction that it causes. It distracts you from fulfilling your purpose. It distracts you from being present in the moment, from knowing what's going on, from learning anything. I mean, there's so many distractions that it causes. The thing is like, we didn't have that when we were younger. I'm trying to remember what we were distracted by, but like what you're saying, I do remember being terrified. I was a singer. I loved singing and I wanted to be a singer, and I would sing in front of my school and get so nervous, but I knew I was really good. So I was like, listen, I'm going to go through with this because I feel confident in it. Nowadays, I don't know that kids feel confident about stuff anymore because they're not putting themselves out there between COVID and being very much isolated and then having these devices to hide behind. They don't really have to do anything to have confidence or to learn how you fall and get up and how that's all part of life. So can you like talk about that a little bit and give a lot of stats too about, you know, what people are doing on social media?
Yeah. So what you're saying is exactly right. And the word I would use is resilience. Our kids are no longer resilient because they are spending so much time on these devices, right? When life gets hard, I hide behind my phone. When something gets difficult, I hide behind. Or we have parents who either are kind of helicopter parents or we're lawnmower parents, right? And we plow down every obstacle in in front of our kids so that they can have a clear, safe path. Well, the problem is we're not always going to be there, right? We're not always going to be there for our kids. And at some point, they have to learn to stand up and stand for themselves and stand on their own. And if we are constantly removing those obstacles out of their way, then they are never going to build the resilience that they need to overcome the hurdles in this life. I was a while back, I was talking to my therapist, my barber, I mean, that's who I usually go to. But he said, look, 80% of life is really hard. And it makes way for the other 20% that's really awesome. And I think that what our kids don't understand today is that life is hard. Like, growth is hard. The future is hard. Where you who you want to become, the path to get there is hard. But what's also really hard is being stagnant. What's also really hard is living in this world where we're not giving ourselves the right approach to the future because we're sitting there and scrolling on our phones. And someday that choice is what's going to be really, really hard. And when I think about discomfort and I think about growth, I think that we have to force discomfort in our life so that the future can be really, really comfortable. And if we choose comfort zones now, then the future is going to be really, really difficult. And the challenge with teenagers today and scrolling on their phones is that they're just not preparing themselves for a future that can be so wonderful because they're spending so much time living in a moment of instant gratification. Because it does, like scrolling on your phone feels pretty good in the moment. Like it can feel great, but it also puts us in a state where we're not gonna achieve that long-term satisfaction because we're just stuck in this instant gratification land. So.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Last night I was sitting in my bed before I went to sleep and I was watching your feed to get prepared for today. Sure. And my daughter came in my room. She had her phone and she started, I guess, to hear your messages and the things you were saying. And I noticed her put her phone down and I was hoping this was going to happen. And then I was like, oh, her name's Wyatt. I was like, Wyatt, listen to this. And then it was like, you know, you were giving some advice about things and you got to the concept. I actually wrote it down where you said forced discomfort leads to real safety. And she stopped me and she said, what does that mean? And so we talked about it for a while and I loved that she wanted to have this conversation and she didn't understand what you meant by that. She was like, but why would anybody want to force discomfort? Why would anybody want to? Because if you don't know, and this was her words, if you don't know what's on the other side, how do you know that that's going to lead you to safety? How do you know you're making the right decisions if it's so scary? Yeah. And I thought that was a really good question. So how would you answer that?
It's a great question. I love the curiosity. And I think one thing that's lost because of smartphones is curiosity today. But what I love about that question is it opens the door to more, right? And what I believe always is that we are always growing one way or the other. And so if we, and if you think about growth, like even from the moment where we have babies or whatever, right? Like the baby is always growing. The question is, are they growing which direction, right? And I believe that that forced discomfort, overcoming that fear and overcoming those learned like things that are holding us back in this world, when we can just take one step forward, then we can make the next best decision in our life. And I think for Wyatt, what happens is we may, you know, we may think that the future is, oh, I want to be a rock star. I want to do this. Why would I force discomfort if I don't know what's on the other side? Well, you force discomfort because it opens the door to opportunity to make the next best decision in your life. Right. That's the power. And so, and then once you've kind of unlocked that door and moved beyond that little fear, that little comfort zone, then you can move beyond into the next one and you start to open the world and start to open up your opportunities. Because in the moment, if we don't do that, then we're just always going to be stuck in comfort. But true happiness to me, I don't believe that it will ever come from just being stuck where you're at. There always has to be something else, something more, something you're growing towards. And you may find like 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, that's not the path. That's not where you want to go. Like if you would have asked me years ago and said, hey, Tanner, by the way, you know, you're going to be on this podcast in a couple of years and, you know, you're going to be a motivational speaker and going to schools, I would have probably laughed at you. And the reason I would have laughed is because when I was 14 years old, I was an unmotivated teenager. I didn't care about school. I didn't care about grades. I was a CB student. I just cared about hanging out with friends and doing fun things and playing video games back in the day, which were way better, those video games. But but I didn't care about any of that. And if you would have said, hey, by the way, a couple, 20, 30, 40 years from now, you're going to be a motivational speaker, I would have laughed at you. And I think that sometimes we get so caught up in the here and now of who we are that we forget that the road is long. Like, we've got a long way to go, and we can make different choices based on the new knowledge that we gain once we force discomfort in our life.
Right. And I think part of that conversation too is that, especially because they're so used to looking at things on social media and seeing the end result that that always is the final result, but they don't know what it's like to fail and how that's like part of figuring things out. Like, that's a great part of life. Who gives a shit if you fail? And I think they're so embarrassed. Like, everything is embarrassing at this age. So they're embarrassed to fail because they don't want anyone to see that happen. And, but I think I guess we don't learn that until later in life, but that is really where the growth comes from and how you learn not to do that again. And you can try other things and how important that is for like growing your, what I like to call like the Karate Kid wax on, wax off thing in life. You learn different things. And all of a sudden later in life, you're like, oh wait, I know how to do that, 'cause I learned this in some other task and now I'm good at it. So I think the failure is really where the lesson is too. And knowing that that's okay.
It's critical, but I think a lot of that comes to parenting, right? And I think what we forget, what's misunderstood, is that we as parents have so much influence over our kids' lives. And probably we forget it because we're sitting there scrolling our own phones all the time, right? We forget to look up from our own devices to know that we have the opportunity to impact our kids. But I had a conversation with my daughter not long ago where she it was going through a tough time. And when she talked to me about it, she said, I didn't tell you because I thought you were going to get mad at me.
Right.
And my response was as neutral as I am right now. I didn't get mad at her. I didn't get upset. And we just talked about it and said, hey, I want you to be healthy. I want you to be strong. Like, let's talk through it. We're going to make through this together. And I think too many parents are criticizing our kids for their failures instead of celebrating their growth in the moment, right? Like, and if you criticize.
And they're so scared of our reactions. Yeah.
Right. And now why would they try again? Why would they stand up and keep pushing themselves forward if we got mad at them in the first place? We talked about their failure as failure instead of talking about their failure as growth. And so we have a really large role to play in our kids. And we have to remember that the statistic is the prefrontal cortex of the brain, the front part of the brain, the decision-making part of the brain, it doesn't develop in our kids' heads until about the age of 25 years old. Until then, they're thinking emotionally. And so when we come down on them for a failure, when we come down on them for whatever the thing is, they're going to retreat into this emotional state, and they're going to develop in their brain these neurons, these pathways that I can't try something new ever again, because if I do, it will create this negative thing to happen in my life. So why would I try something new ever again? And so we have to be really careful as parents how we are helping our kids see the future and see growth and see where they, who and what they can become, because we play a huge role in it.
Right. This episode is brought to you by Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us, a podcast. These are real stories from guests who dare to get uncomfortable in a moment that challenged their worldview. In the thick of intense emotions, they chose to stay curious and open rather than lash out or shy away, and came out on the other side with stronger relationships, clearer beliefs, and increased confidence. And you can do it too. Part real life stories, part conflict coaching and self-improvement. So if you are burned out on social media and wish you could bring back the humanity into discussions online or in real life, look no further. Learn how to improve your communication, disagree more productively, and be a more inspired leader. In such a polarized world, learning how to stick with moments that challenge us without getting defensive or shutting down is a direct antidote for division. Hear how others are healing their communities, families, and neighborhoods, learning to talk about what matters to them, working to view others as human so we can build a better world together. Each episode models the mental health principles of MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction, non-judging, patience, beginner's mind, trust, non-striving, acceptance, letting go. Recent stories include he thought his comment was harmless, then he got written up, disrespected at the pool. She decided to confront the culprits when one word threatened a work partnership. She thought she was a good friend, then a birthday surprise went wrong. If you're interested in any of this, take a listen to Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us, a podcast. Hey everyone, I just wanted to take a quick moment to chat about something that's really been on my mind lately, my health journey. As a busy mom and businesswoman, it can feel overwhelming to prioritize my well-being, right? But ever since I found Holistic Goddess, it's like I've discovered a whole new way to think about health. They've vetted everything in their marketplace, so I know I'm getting quality products that actually really work. It's like having a friend who's done all the legwork for you. That's exactly what Holistic Goddess feels like to me, a friend sharing their real experiences and recommendations, and that's who I want to be for you, sharing things that have helped and worked for me personally. Please give Holistic Goddess a try to be your marketplace for trusted brands. Go to holisticgoddess.com. If you find something you like, use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off. That brings me, I want to talk about the impacts, the social and mental health impacts, but also I feel like there's such an impact on, you know, when we were younger, everybody was somewhat of an individual, right? Now I feel like all the kids are the same because they're learning traits and words and all these things that, I mean, you walk into my house on any given day, there's like six kids here and they're all talking about skibbity, riz, all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, they're all the same person and they're clearly getting it, you know? And then, you know, I'm the embarrassing one for not. Every time I try and talk like that, they're like, oh my God, stop.
Keep talking like that. There's nothing better than trying to say the words that they don't think we know how to
right.
say.
I'm always like, oh my God, Ohio toilet riz. She's like, mom. Anyways, yeah. The point is, you know, I just want to know your thoughts on what you call digital atrophy and its impact on young people and the mental health.
Yeah, it's a good thought. And what I think is happening is that when we spend so much time in the digital world, we are limiting our brain from growth. And so if you think of atrophy, right, you're thinking of, you know, I ruptured my Achilles a few years ago and it didn't take very long for my entire leg to shrink down to nothing, right? Like my muscles were gone. It was a pretty rough, traumatic experience. And I think what's happening today in the world with our kids is that they're spending so much time on these devices, seeing other people, watching other people's experience, that they're forgetting to experience the world themselves. And yeah. When I think about like creation, I think that we as human beings are here to create things. And I think that happiness comes through creation. Well, digital atrophy to me is that the world has turned us, or smartphones have turned us, into consumers. All we're doing now is consuming, consuming, consuming. And if that's all we do, then we aren't exploring that growth in our brains to step into our real potential, which is creators of all these great things, creators of great podcasts, creators of, you know, writing books, creators, whatever the kids want to become in their lives, because we're spending so much time consuming. And when we do that, our brain is literally atrophying. It is literally becoming less of what it could become. And we are, and then, and like any muscle, to get back, you have to begin to work it. You have to begin to grow it over and over and over again. So,
if you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
How would you suggest for, like, in all the stuff that you've done now, how would you suggest that parents can change their approach? Because I'll say to Wyatt all the time, Wyatt, put the phone down, you know, go read a book, go do this, go do that. You know, I think it would be a great idea for her to start a podcast with kids her age. You know, awesome. I have a studio. And because of her, I guess I'm going to bring the word up again, embarrassment, that it'll make her look not like everyone else. I think the embarrassing thing for them is standing out and being different, which I think is such a great quality. So how could parents change their approach to get their kids' heads out of the phone and doing something more active and using their brain?
Yeah. So it's first of all, she should start a podcast, and I would be happy to be on that podcast at some point. But, you know, I think that the biggest challenge is, and you said it, kids, because of social media and even going back to digital atrophy, right? They believe that to fit in, they have to be the same. And unfortunately, now they scroll social media and they see what it takes to be cool. They see what it takes to fit in. And I believe that your uniqueness is your superpower. Your uniqueness is what gives you strength. Your uniqueness is what is going to set yourself apart from the world. But what happens when kids are in middle school, you know, 12 years old, that's when a lot of kids are starting to get social media. But it's even from a brainwave perspective, it's when they start recognizing that, oh, the people in my life aren't just my mom and dad, or the people in my life aren't just, you know, my family, but there's all these other people in school. And all of a sudden they start caring, you know, they're starting to pay attention to me. And so you almost like have to feel like you fit in so that you become a part of the crowd.
Yeah.
And part of it is natural evolution. As kids grow, and even as you get into that high school age, they stop kind of caring a little bit more about other people. Not always, but they stop caring. But I think for parents, the biggest thing that we can do is that we have to teach our kids how to make their phone usage really, really meaningful. Because what's happening is, if you think about your phones, the biggest flaw is that we start comparing our life to everybody else, right? We start looking out there and from a teenager who's thinking that with that emotional brain and can't logically think that, oh, wait, that isn't the real world, or that person's life isn't perfect. They just think emotionally that they're different or that they're not good enough. Comparison is detrimental to their mental health. And so we have to start teaching our kids that there is a life outside of social media and that it's not meaningful. One of the things I always say is that when you find your 1 second of strength, going back to your 1 second of strength, when you find your 1 second of strength to walk away from the thing that's hurting your heart, it could be an influencer that you're following. It could be a friendship. It could be a relationship. It could be TikTok or just scrolling your phone. When you find your 1 second of strength to walk away from the thing that's hurting your heart, the very next second will be the best second of your life. Because in that 1 second, you will find freedom. In that 1 second, all that weight, all that pressure, everything that you've been holding on to, which is heavy for teenagers, is extremely heavy.
Yeah.
When you let go of that, you'll feel freedom in that 1 second. And so, and one of the easiest ways to do it, I have this acronym called this, you know, social media is dumb, D-U-M-B. And you have the power in 1 second of strength to do any of these four things when social media feels dumb. You can delete, you can unfollow, you can mute somebody, or you can block them. Any of those four things will give you your power back and put you back in a mental state where you are in control, not out of control. Because there's really only three things you can control in your life. One, your words. Two, your behavior, and three, your mindset. And when we give social media power over those things, we are limiting our happiness in the long run.
I love that you come into schools and give this message to a group as a whole, because I think just from listening to you, and if my daughter was sitting here, she would say, yeah, I get that. And I believe everything he's saying, but if I delete my Snapchat, because everyone's being kind of mean and abusive and whatever, I'll feel left out because mm-hmm. everyone else is still on it. So I think it takes guts to be able to kind of not follow the herd and make that decision and hope that other people will follow, or try to get over that feeling of feeling left out. Like try to find something else that means something to you where you could still feel connected to your friends and be connected, but you're not connected in a way that's on your phone.
Yeah. And so the reason I go into schools is because kids don't want to hear it from you. They don't want to hear it from their mom anymore. They don't want to hear it from their teachers. They don't want to hear from their principal or school counselors. And so I come in kind of as this third party.
Because they're always getting in trouble when it's from us. Like a cool thing. Yeah.
And for me, when I go in, really what I talk about is I talk about control. The number one thing I want these kids to recognize in their life is that they are in control of their life. Because when we recognize we're in control, then we start seeing the things that are out of control, like that social media and these companies are targeting us, that they are targeting our brains, that they are playing off of our emotions, that they are literally designing these apps to draw us in and keep us there longer. When you start realizing that some of these are happening, but you've learned that you're in control of your life, then you can take power over it. And the unlock, I think, for kids is that when they start recognizing that what matters most is their happiness, what matters most isn't being a part of the herd, being a part of the crowd. What matters most isn't, making sure you're included on Snapchat. What matters most is your happiness. And then you empower them with that 1 second of strength to just do it, just in 1 second. Even if it's deleting Snapchat for, I call it crap chat, by the way, even if it's deleting it for, for a day, just spend a day without it and recognize how you feel. It'll change your life because you'll start recognizing, oh, wait, I don't think I needed that as much as I thought I did. Because on one hand, it is keeping in touch with your friends. And that's what Snapchat's used a lot for. On the other hand, how much are we just scrolling? How much time are we just spending there? Studies show that teenagers open Snapchat 40 times a day and they spend 30 minutes a day on that app. And it may not sound like a lot of time, 30 minutes, but if you think about the way that they're interacting with Snapchat, which is if your kids have Snapchat, I would encourage any parents to stand over their shoulders, do a little spying and just watch how they interact with Snapchat, because it is as fast paced as you can possibly be, looking at the next picture, taking a picture, sending it back, looking again, and just over and over and over again. And you want to talk about why our kids are anxious today? It's because their neurons in their brain are firing that fast. And they're going from one thing to the next. And so they're opening Snapchat 40 times a day, spending 30 minutes a day on it. But then when it gets really dangerous is that that's not the only social media platform they have. They've got TikTok, and teenagers are spending 82 minutes a day on TikTok. And then going back to the statistic that you mentioned at the beginning where we got us started talking is if your teenagers have TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube, and Instagram on their phone, and they spend the average amount of time that they would spend on those apps, then they are spending 20% of their year, 71 full days of their life scrolling, 71 days out of their life comparing themselves to others, 71 days opening themselves up to cyberbullying, 71 days looking out the outside world and not creating the best inside world for them. And that is the most dangerous thing for their future, because at some point, they're going to leave our nest. At some point, they've got to be their own adult, their own human, their own best version of themselves. But if as teenagers, they are spending so much time on these devices, it makes it really hard to break that habit in the future so that they can step into their ultimate potential. So,
right. I'm curious, when you're in schools, do you have a different message for middle school ages versus upper school ages and what those messages are?
Not really.
Or how they differ?
Yeah, not really. They're pretty much the same. I lean a little bit more into some kindness for the younger groups. Bullying is really rampant in middle schools today. But as it comes to social media and it comes to being in control, it's really, really similar. And really what we find is that it's middle school is just not even the tip of the iceberg anymore, but fifth grade, fourth grade, kids younger and younger are getting access to these devices and these phones. And, if the age of development, 25 years old for their brain, is not coming down just because we're giving kids phones earlier and earlier, earlier. They just are not ready. Teenagers, kids are not ready or smartphones. They're not ready for social media. And I think one of the biggest things we can do as adults, as the humans in their life, is wait. Just wait a little bit longer. If they're asking for it, they're begging for it. I get it. All their friends have it. They will be okay if you don't give them social media. I promise right. they'll be okay, even though their world feels like it's going to collapse in the moment, but they'll be fine. They'll be resilient. Right. They'll be fine.
And some of you talk about, which, we forget too, because we were back there back then, but like being a teenager is a small portion of their life. They think yeah. this is the end all be all. These are the same friends. How they look today is so important, you know, because they need to be comparing themselves to these people. But years from now, all of this is going to be long gone. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I think the numbers are, look, this middle school and high school age is only about 7 to 8% of your life. That's it. And I think one of the biggest challenges, and again, going back to the brain that it's not fully developed, is too many kids are making these permanent decisions based off of these temporary emotions. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the full length of life, and again, even looking at me, I did not know that I would be a motivational speaker. I've been a director of marketing. I've worked all sorts of jobs. Mm-hmm. But if you said that back then, I would have no idea. And so life is about to get really, really good. And for some people, mm-hmm. high school is awesome, right? For some people, high school is the worst. Well, don't worry about it, because college is coming, and college can be really, really great. And then after college, there's like this long runway of actual life where you even have a little bit of money and you can actually do things and spend money and go on vacations and like live life to your fullest. But too many teenagers are stuck in this myopic view of the world that it's just right here. And the only thing I have is right here in this moment. And if someone says something unkind to me, my world falls apart and the world ends. Right. And if, you know, some influencer, I didn't get enough views or I didn't get enough likes on my post, then I'm not good enough. Well, you are good enough. And guess what? Someday you're not even going to remember that. Actually, probably tomorrow, you're not even going to remember that post, right? Like you're not going to remember anything right. that happened in the past, because your future is so bright. So I, you know, my advice to teenagers is don't get so caught up in the now that you forget that the future is so good, because it's right. going to get really, really good. And I think hindsight's always 20/20. We can always look back at our past and go, well, yeah, of course, it's hard for teenagers in the moment, but we can consistently remind them and consistently talk to them about the future and setting those goals and what's going to happen as they move through life.
Kids are so funny, because they'll, you know, my daughter, I'll use as an example, will all, you know, she's a know-it-all, right? They yeah. think they know everything and there's nothing else to learn. And so it is very interesting to have to stop and remind them, like, you don't know anything. You have yeah. to experience it to understand it. Or, you know, I've seen some friends that have older kids who are going through their first breakup, and they think it is the end of the world. They will never love anybody like that. Yep. No one will ever date them again. And it's like, oh my God, you have a whole life ahead of you where you're going to fall in love and fall out of love multiple times, and that's okay. And it's heartbreaking to watch yeah. sometimes, you know, but it's definitely part of it.
It's part of it. But one thing I would recommend for parents is I would always celebrate when your kids are resilient, when your kids are strong. So you think about that breakup experience, right? Well, yeah. in the moment, it is the worst thing ever. You know, my daughter just recently went through kind of a friend breakup, and it was traumatic. It was really difficult. And, you know, as adults, we're going, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it through. We'll be fine. Like, it's actually better. And about 3-4 days later, she's like, I feel really free. Like, I feel better. I didn't just let that slide. I called it out. Hey, remember that. Remember that even though it was really hard in the moment, it's better in the long run. It's better now. Like, you feel better. Like, call that out and celebrate all that your kids are, and celebrate their strengths, and celebrate it, because we want to reinforce with that positive behavior. We want to continually reinforce these positive attributes so that they can take those the next time that they are scared, the next time they're experiencing self-doubt, the next time they don't think they're good enough, the next time they're questioning if the grass is greener on the other side. Hey, remember when you weren't sure if the grass was greener, but mm-hmm. you took that step, you found that strength, you found that courage to take that step, and you found out that it was greener? Remember that, you know, like we can celebrate our kids in so many ways because they're so good. Like, there's so right. many kids who are doing so well.
Right. No, that's a great point. I'm curious if you have a memory. I mean, I know that it's really this year you've started to do a lot of the school talks, but has there been one moment that really impacted you from being out of school, having an interaction with a student or a class that really stands out to you?
Yeah, there's a handful. And you know, inevitably, whenever I speak in schools, I focus on the one. I know that of the 500 to 1,000 kids that are in the audience, there's a handful of different kids. One, you know, there's one group who is way too cool for whatever I'm saying. They don't want to hear it. There's another group who is way too cool, but they're listening. And then there's this group of kids who really, really need this. Yeah. And I've had handfuls of experience where a student will come down to me afterwards, tears in their eyes, and just say, thank you. This is exactly what I needed to hear today. I'll get Instagram messages on Instagram that say, you know, one said, it's always interesting how the right person comes into your life at exactly the right time. I got another Instagram message about 3 weeks ago from a student in Idaho who messaged me and said, I really, really want to thank you. You saved my life today. And there's these moments. What we don't understand as parents is that when we give our kids smartphones too soon, the mental toll it takes on their lives is way more amplified than we could possibly imagine. And there are too many students, too many kids today that are suffering in silence because we made a decision to give them a smartphone. Mm. And I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to go in schools and just talk to these kids and try and save a few of them because in the moment, we don't know which kids are struggling, but right. We do have an opportunity to change their life for the better. So,
and sometimes it's the kids you least expect. You know, I've spoken to parents who've lost their kids to suicide because, you know, and they had no idea. They had no idea their kids were going through that. It is the worst thing. And you know, as a parent, you obviously always want to get your child to speak to you, but inevitably they are not going to want to talk to their parents usually. So it's somebody like you coming into the school, reminding them, keeping their minds open. I think it's so important
we have to, as parents today, especially in the digital age, we have to lose the not my kid mentality. I think it's too easy to say, well, no, mental health problems happen to other kids. Mental health happens to, it's not, it would never happen. Like I'm a good, you know, a good family. We go to church. We have there's so much good in our lives. Why us? Right. Yeah. You got to start thinking you can't start thinking not my kid, because it is not the answer anymore, because there's too many stories of kids who are struggling today. But they look really happy on the outside, right? They look like they're doing really good, but they're suffering in silence. And we need to be really cognizant of that as parents and be present in their lives.
Something else I noticed last night in looking at your approaches, you have something called the SOS approach. Can you talk about that? I really loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this ties back to the second of strength. But what it is it's the SOS, second of strength approach. And I think that any goals, anything you want to accomplish in life, and can come back and tie back to this simple approach. And so the first S is all about setting your intentions. What do you want to have happen? And I think, you know, if we are in this life struggling in any given moment, well, pay attention to what's your goal? What are you aiming for? What are you pushing for? So set your intentions. In your house, it might be you want to have happy kids. In fact, I think that the goal of most parents is we want to have happy kids. We want to help them reach their potential. And then we want to help them become good adults. Those are the things that we want to have happen in our home. And if I can send my kids off to life after living in my house and they become good adults, I think I've checked those boxes. I think I'm doing pretty good, right? So what do you want to have to happen? And it could be with, you know, working out. I want to, you know, lose some weight. I want to become stronger. I want to become mentally fit, whatever it is, right? What is the intention you want to have happen in your life? From there, the O is observe your behavior. So this is where awareness comes in. We have to get really, really good at being aware of how we're doing on that path. Where are we at? What are we doing? And because when we're observing our behavior, then we can step into the third S, which is shift. And we want to shift with our second of strength. So the simple example from exercise, right? If you want to be healthier and that's your goal, well, okay, how's your behavior? How's your eating habits? How's your snacking? Are you working out in the mornings or the afternoons? Are you checking those boxes every single day? Yes, no, maybe so. If you're not, okay, what's the shift you need to make. Walk upstairs right now, grab that bag of chips, grab that can of soda, and dump it out. Throw it away. That's what your 1 second of strength is for. And right. So as you think about teenagers, if you are in that moment, so what do you want to have? What do you want to accomplish? If you want to make the sports team, okay, well, okay, let's observe some behaviors. Are you putting in the time? Are you putting in the effort? How much are you scrolling on your phone? How many minutes a day are you spending on Instagram? How many minutes a day are you spending on TikTok, on Snapchat? Is it adding up to 71 days? If your intention is to make a sports team, become the best version of you, whatever that is, and you observe that you're spending a whole heck of a lot of time on social media, then we have to make that shift. We have to make that shift in that one moment, because we can't reach our potential and achieve what matters most to us if we are not overcoming these obstacles that are standing in our way by observing our behavior. So that's the SOS approach to literally any goal, anything you want to accomplish in life ties back to that simple three-step process.
I'm putting myself in a kid's shoe right now, thinking, I'm hearing all this information from you. What if a child feels really lost about knowing what they want to do, knowing what means something to them? If they're like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but if I put my phone down, what am I going to do? How am I going to figure out how to be the best version of myself? Like, can you give some tips of like how kids can find something that means something to them?
Yeah, it becomes an experiment, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We just have to start trying new things, because when we slip into that comfort zone of just scrolling on our phone, we're not ultimately achieving anything we really want in the future, right? Right. So it comes down to trial and error, and it's okay to try something and fail. It's okay to try something. And parents, we need to support our kids in this moment, right? Like, hey, you want to try something new? You want to go out for that club? You want to try this? You want to? That's fine. Let's lean into that. And they may try it for a couple of weeks and decide that, hey, I actually don't like fishing. Okay, cool. Let's not fish anymore, right? Or whatever it is, right? Let's try the things and move forward. But what I do know is if we're spending so much time in instant gratification on our phones, we're never going to find that lasting satisfaction. We're never really going to arrive at the place that we want to arrive. So I think it comes down to trial and error. And I think it comes down to supporting our kids in anything that they want to try, any endeavor that they're after. But we do have to recognize that it may not work. They may fail at it, and that's okay. But then our reaction is what matters most when something goes awry, when something isn't right. It's okay. Let's be neutral about it. Let's support them into their next adventure. And at some point, they'll figure it out. But let's remember that same thing we talked about a few minutes ago. This part of their life, they don't have to have it figured out. 7% of their life, parents, we don't have to have them figured out yet. They don't need to know yet. Let's not place our expectations on them, because that's too heavy, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to figure it out. They're going to be fine. They're going to become motivational speakers or whatever they're going to become, right? They're going to become that person. Let's not place our fears of their failures on them.
Right.
Because that's, I think, the biggest challenge is that parents as us, we face is that we know, like, we can see like this 30,000 foot view of like our kids' potential. We know they've got this incredible potential, but then when they don't live up to it, we come down on them for it. Let's help them and celebrate them where they're at now, instead of knocking them for what they haven't become yet.
Yeah. My last question for you, I know you've said a lot of good stuff here. If you could say three things to teenagers that are the most important things that you think out of all this, education that you've come up with and done, and experience you've had, what would be the three most important things that you think teenagers need to know?
Yeah, I think the first is they need to recognize how incredible they are. You know, in a world that can be really heavy, in a world that there's a lot going on, don't lose sight of how far you've come and how incredible you are. So that's the first thing. The second thing is embrace their beauty and their self-worth. I think that too many teenagers are giving that power of their value away to other people. They're giving it away to their friends. They're giving away to influencers online. They're giving it away to so many different outside entities that they forget that their self-worth cannot be determined by anybody else, and particularly not by a like, a share, or a view on social media. It just doesn't come from that. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is that they just have to stop letting social media and their smartphones steal their happiness, and that they have the power to walk away from it in any given moment. That's what that 1 second of strength is for. They have the power to walk away, and that freedom, that weight that gets lifted off your shoulders in any given moment when you choose to walk away from those things is life-changing. And they, even at 12 years old, even at 10 years old, even at 15, 16, 17, and even at 40 something, you know, we have the power to walk away from the things that are hurting our heart and step into our greatest happiness. And that's all it takes, is that one little second of strength to do it.
It's never too late, no matter your age. Very good advice. Tell people where they can hear more of this kind of thing from you. You have a podcast, yeah?
I do. I have the Second of Strength podcast. You can find it, I think, anywhere where podcasts are out. You can find me on Instagram at Real Tanner Clark. I think my website, One Second of Strength, if you're interested in having me come and speak at your school. But yeah, reach out. Happy to answer any questions and help in any way I can, because our kids need that.
Thank you so much, Tanner.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Misunderstood.